Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is it?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
News from the Nest here on The Fan. Talk some Ravens here. Ravens back at the practice field today. 135, one winning drive. Getting ready for their preseason opener Thursday night against the Tennessee Titans. And John Harbaugh is going to kind of give us a rundown of who's going to be playing and who won't be later on in this segment. So hang tight. But a guy that didn't practice over the weekend, going to be interesting to see if he's out there today, is Rashad Bateman. And John Harbaugh a couple of days ago explained exactly why their top receiver wasn't on the field on Friday.
There are guys with minor things. Rashad's one of those guys. Probably could have gone today, and we just said no. We'll probably hold him out tomorrow too. Some of that soft tissue stuff, fatigue starts to set in. That's where we're at with a couple guys.
Yeah, soft tissue could mean anything.
Hammy is what it means to me.
But you mentioned it earlier, Vinny, that at this stage of the game for wide receivers in particular, I mean, a lot of route running, and maybe he is kind of, we certainly not at 100% health, but, you know, maybe a little tired, it's a little hot out there, and, you know,
yeah.
Day off could have done him well. We'll see what today holds.
Well, what was good for him, Bob, is because if he gets off Saturday, you don't practice again until Monday, so you get 2 days, you know, so get a chance, you know, probably get a massage type thing, sitting in that cold whirlpool, stretch out. So it's big for receivers. And Bob, and he's not a really thick guy. He's lean now, you know. So like in that picture I showed you of T.O., That's kind of how T.O. looks skinny in that picture. That's kind of how, you know, Bateman looks, long and lean.
Now, if Bateman doesn't practice today, are you worried about anything, or is it just, you know, the Ravens proceeding with caution and probably the smart thing to do there?
Yeah, I mean, if he feels anything, he can't go because, I mean, Bob, there's a couple guys that you need on offense, and he's one of them. Andrews is one of them, you know, just because the drop-off is pretty big at their positions, my opinion.
Oh, Duvernay just came back.
Yeah.
I guess Tylan Wallace has had a relatively quiet camp. Prochet's always Mr. August. We'll see what happens now because there's no one really blocking his path towards playing time this year.
No.
No more excuses, I would assume, for him.
None. Time to poop or get off the pot.
Now for Tyler Linderbaum, rookie out of Iowa, had a setback last week as he was stepped on, and John Harbaugh at the time explained what he thought the recovery process would be.
Linderbaum got the MRI, got it back. It's not a serious thing. It's going to be probably at least a week. You know, just let it settle down. It could be 2 weeks. We'll see. You know, of course, he'll tell me otherwise, but, you know, it's not going to be through the whole all the training camp unless something changes. So that's where we're at with that today.
And then Ian Rappaport reporting today, NFL Network, just within the hour, that Liz Frank, part of the equation here for Tyler Linderbaum.
I'm texting my wife, Bob, to see if she's got a minute to, you know, if she could explain what a... She's in clinic, so I don't know.
But recovery process right now, week or two, as we just heard Harbaugh say. And right now, according to the guys from NFL Network, that still is the plan. But I'm guessing, I'm not a doctor. I sucked at that game operation. I'd always get like buzzed trying to get in through the sides and such. But This is concerning, I guess, because when you hear a fancy name, medical term like Lisfranc, it goes beyond foot sprain. Now it's foot sprain times 10.
Yeah.
The technical term for it.
It goes from, you know, all of a sudden, it's just a little sprain. Now it's got a name to it, you know, and he's had it before. So, Bob, before he's played through it, all right? This time, he's out a couple weeks. So, it must be worse.
Now, when you were there, he was in visible
pain. Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, Bob, he was on the ground and sat there on the ground. So, he felt it.
Yeah, this wasn't something where he was hurt. You could see it.
And, you know, I'm trying to I don't recall what D lineman fell on him, but most of those D linemen, you know, I mean, they're 280 and above, you know, and if it was Jones or Pierce, they're 330 and above.
5880-1057, the Fan News from the Nest on this Monday. John Harbaugh Saturday was asked by the media about training camp, maybe changing some things starting today before the game against Tennessee this week.
We work into the game, so we have a regular camp practice on Monday. We have one of our rotational camp practices on Tuesday, which will be not in pads. And then we have a normal day before the game type of a practice on Wednesday, a little extended. We do more situations in that practice. So it changes in that sense as you get closer to the game.
So what's he saying there? I mean, that's kind of the normal protocol, right?
Well,
3 days from game day.
Normally, though, just because your starters and stuff aren't playing much, Bob, you kind of work right through it. You know, I mean, you can back. But, I mean, they're going pads today. So it'll be a normal practice. Then, I mean, Tuesday's 2 days before the game. So they'll be in shorts and stuff. So, and then Wednesday, like he said, they're going to do a lot of like goal line, you know, red zone, all that, you know, situate 2 minute, you know, all those things that could pop up during a game that guys need to know about. So, you know, because you don't want to look like, damn, they don't even know what the hell they're doing. You know, so you go through all those things.
7:30 kickoff, by the way, Thursday night, M&T Bank Stadium. And then finally, the competition at running back. It is hot. It's heavy. It's undecided. John Harbaugh's looking forward to it.
Yeah, it couldn't be much more wide open than the running back position right now. I mean, we're gonna play the guys and see who does well. And they've all done well in practice. And like we said, the games are big for the running backs, I think. So they're all excited to play.
Have you been as impressed with Tyreek Hill as others have been out of training camp so far?
I like Tyreek Hill and Beatty. I think.
Or Justice Hill. Wish we had Tyreek Hill out there. That'd be sweet.
Yeah. I like Hill and Beatty. I think they're the most explosive. And, you know, like Harb said, the games are going to determine one, or probably two and three, you know, because you're keeping Ricard and you're keeping Dobbins. And then you're probably, you know, are you keeping an extra back because, you know, Dobbins is coming off knee surgery? Or, you know, can you get it? See, I was going to say, you know, Hill or Beatty, maybe they could be on a practice squad. But if they do well in the preseason, then they're probably not going to make. You know, somebody would claim them. So, you know, it's. Let me just say, they got three games. It's going to, like Harb said, it's going to play itself out.
It's 5880-1057, the Fan. When we come back, let's count some cash. It's a new week. Do we have new money? We'll find out with buy or sell. Bottom of the hour, Joe Dahneman. Fox 19 in Cincinnati returns to the program. Bengals defending AFC champions. How are they looking so far in camp? You had Joe Burrow with the appendicitis. Ja'Marr Chase had a brilliant rookie season. Is he going to follow that up? Any Super Bowl hangover? That rubber chicken, is it starting to weigh him down with the Bengals? We'll talk about that and more here on The Fan.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Penny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
It's Penny and Haney, 1057, The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw exciting young man that he is. He's on the other side of the glass. Big weekend in sports. A lot of things happening. We'll address as much as we possibly can. But right now, let's count a little early week money with buy or sell.
All right, Bob. The Dow's down 9. The S&P's down 8. NASDAQ is down 20. DraftKings up 51 cents, 1847. Under Armour's up 19 cents, 864.
We'll start with what we saw in the Hall of Fame game last Thursday. Some familiar faces, as we mentioned on Friday, were playing in that game, including running back Josh Jacobs for the Raiders. And usually you expect to see your starters sitting, especially in the extra preseason game where you're playing that fourth one, the Hall of Fame game. Skill position players in particular, but for Josh McDaniels, he said after the game, quote, "I always think it's good for backs to carry the ball in the preseason. There's a lot of things that happen when you're getting tackled and hit that you can't simulate in practice." This also comes after the Raiders did not pick up Jacobs' fifth-year option. So, Vinny, buy or sell, the Raiders don't view Jacobs as a true number one running back for them this season.
Well, I think if you look at, like, the history of the Patriots, they've always had a couple, you know. They kind of got role guys. You know, they have, you know, your first down back, your third down. They always kind of had, you know, like Dave Maggett. You know, I mean, especially when Josh has been there. So he's not, you know, and there was some talk that maybe they were showcasing him, you know, to trade him. And, you know, let's just say that Dobbins wasn't going to be ready or healthy or, you know. Would you be interested, you know, in like a Josh Jacobs would be a candidate, I would think. So what am I, Josh Jacobs?
Not a true number one, I'm saying.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Sounds like you're
I'll
buying
buy that.
That. Over to the NBA, Lakers, certainly plenty of question marks about their immediate future, but maybe misleading. Maybe you can buy into it. I don't know. But reports coming out that the team and LeBron James are discussing a potential contract extension. The 38-year-old is preparing to enter the final year of his current deal with LA. Regardless of how you feel about LeBron's career, he has had a history of jumping ship to teams that are in a better situation for the immediate future, teams that can afford to build around him. Lakers appear to be anything but that right now. So, Bob, buy or sell, no chance LeBron signs an extension and doesn't at least test free agency next offseason.
I'll buy that. He has made it clear he wants to play with his son, Bronny.
Mm-hmm.
And Bronny gets a lot of hype as a player because he's LeBron James' son.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I saw the two-year extension would be worth like $50 million a year or something crazy like that. Tell you what, there is a good line of work to get into, being an NBA player.
Yeah.
I mean, Udonis Haslam's made over $80 million. I don't think he's played a game that's counted in forever and ever. But I think he will pursue. Haven't there been whispers that he could maybe go back to Cleveland again when it's all said and done? So I'll buy that, yeah. LeBron's going to hit the open market, I guess.
A strange story from Panthers camp this weekend. He had a seemingly a normal play. Baker Mayfield hitting Rashard Higgins for a 50-yard touchdown pass. Offense goes crazy. Higgins does a little end zone celebration of his own, and head coach Matt Rhule, he proceeded to hand out a penalty of his own in practice, flagged Higgins for taunting. And then in addition to that, if that wasn't enough of a buzzkill, he made the entire offense run laps. He claims that Higgins was celebrating a little too early before the play was over. But Vinny, buy or sell, at some point this season, we will be reading headlines that Matt Rhule has lost the locker room.
I'll buy it. And here's why I'll buy it. If they're struggling, it's never the player's fault. And they got to point the finger at somebody, and it'll be at Matt Rhule because there's been so much talk of him being on the hot seat. He's an easy target.
In baseball, it's hard to imagine Miguel Cabrera not in the Detroit Tigers lineup, but late last week, he seemed to kind of toy with the idea that he might not play next year. He's continuing to deal with some knee injuries, but that lasted probably about a day because on Friday he comes back, clarifies things, says, yeah, I'm going to play in 2023. That will mark the final year of his current contract. But you look at the past 5 years for him, drop off in production for sure. Tigers, meanwhile, they're trying to open up a competitive window here. So, Bob, buy or sell, Detroit can actually afford to keep a struggling Cabrera on the roster for another year.
I'm selling that. Don't they want to contend? They spent a ton of dough this offseason on Baez and Rodriguez, and they fancy themselves as possible contenders. They've had some injuries. Mize, the first pick of the draft a couple years ago, got Tommy John. Yeah, Cabrera's been kind of in a free fall with his power production, one of the more prolific right-handed bats in the history of the game. Try to win. I mean, it's not about, warm and fuzzies and retirement parties. It's about trying to move up in the standings. And they're in a division that's not the American League East. So if they make a shrewd move here or there, they could be back in contention. Hang up those cleats, Miggy.
Mm-hmm.
Enough's enough.
We'll close with another headline from the weekend here. Kareem Hunt requesting a trade from the Browns. They stiff-armed him pretty quickly, said, no, we're not going to trade you. No plans to do that, but... it wasn't long ago, I think I brought this up during Buy or Sell a couple months ago, that Hunt was talking about how he'd love to finish his career with the Browns. It would be a dream to do so. An Ohio kid living out his dream. Is this a real change of heart for him, Vinny? Buy or sell, Hunt is just using this to leverage a new contract.
I'll buy that. And the thing about it is, with the situation at quarterback, if Watson's probably not going to be there. So what are they going to do? What's the most important thing that they're going to do offensively? Run the football, So he's trying to strike while the iron's hot. And with those two, they got the two best backs in the league combo. So they're going to do a little something to adjust something or put something in that contract. You watch, because they need him.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Stay in the AFC North with the defending AFC champion, Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Dannemann returns to the program. Fox 19 out there in Cincinnati. Vinny's heading out to one winning drive, top of the hour. So we'll talk to him about what he's looking forward to in pads this week. Well, today anyway, and then getting ready for the Tennessee Titans coming up on Thursday. Howard Balzer joins us for some NFL lunch from SI.com. We'll preview the Orioles and Blue Jays coming up at 1:15. And Jeff Ehrman, Maryland 24/7 Sports, talking about the start of football practice for Mike Locksley. And Kevin Willard got himself another 4-star over the weekend. We'll talk about that as well.
Jackson takes it himself. Look at him dart back and forth. Oh!
Caught by Mark Andrews.
What a play!
Football is back, baby.
Your home for the most Ravens coverage.
105.7 The Fan.
NFL season starts a month from today. Getting you ready for the start of the AFC North campaign, which is going to be interesting. Ravens, well, they have to handle the AFC East before they get into a division play. It's Vinny and Haney here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Other side of the glass joining us now to preview Bengals a little bit, what he's seen so far through training camp 22. Joins us on the Regency Furniture Hotline. Let's welcome back to the show from Fox 19 in Cincinnati's Joe Dannemann. Joe, good afternoon. What's happening?
Gentlemen, good to talk to you again. It's been too long.
Well, it's good to have you back. And the old Super Bowl hangover, it's a term that's been used for over 50 years now since the advent of the Super Bowl, and the Bengals defending AFC champions, very close to being defending Super Bowl champions. Give us an idea of what the offseason was like. You do the circuit, you're desired at speeches and dinners and everything that goes along with it, but how has that Super Bowl, post-Super Bowl hangover, if there is one, been for the Bengals so far?
Well, it's been interesting because Cincinnati, I think, is rare in the case that even though they lost the Super Bowl, they didn't have a parade when the team got to town, but they did have a big celebration with the fans. Zach Taylor showed up. The front office showed up. So Cincinnati celebrated its season last season, and they should. They hadn't been to the Super Bowl since the 1980s. So to make it back and come that close to winning it, I think, was something the city wanted to celebrate and did celebrate. Now the idea of the hangover is different because Zach Taylor was asked about that this week. They've been receiving a lot of national attention at training camp. A lot of reporters that we typically don't see around the Cincinnati Bengals are now here, and Zach was asked about how he's helping his team kick that Super Bowl hangover, and he keeps pointing to what he has written all over the walls of Paul Brown Stadium and all the plasma screens inside the locker room. It's a slogan that says it's about us and that they want to keep everything inside. They've had expectation before from outside that wasn't good. Now it is good. It is positive. And he says as long as they maintain that idea that it is just about them, they don't have to worry about other people's expectations, that they're going to be fine. And look, they've got a very talented team, a team who was very close to winning the Super Bowl last year, and they've gotten better. They've added more pieces to protect Joe Burrow. So the idea of a Super Bowl hangover, yeah, I think that's something that's always in play, but I think this roster is loaded with guys that are ready and hungry to get back to the playoffs and see what happens in a loaded AFC.
Now, Joe, one thing that can accelerate a Super Bowl hangover, air quotes, is a bunch of injuries to key players. I mean, the Ravens have already had a couple of guys get banged up here during their camp. But what's the health status for the Bengals here on this August the 8th? We know that Joe Burrow had the appendicitis, but, you know, he'll be ready to rock and roll, we're guessing, for the season.
Yeah, that's the big one right now, is waiting to see Joe Burrow get back. It's been a little less than 2 weeks since he had the surgery. He's yet to throw. He's been out of the practice field on a cart. He's been inside the team meeting rooms, leading meetings. So we expect Joe, I would think, probably next week to get back out there and start throwing, and then have a good 2-3 week ramp up to get ready for the season opener on September 11th. As far as that goes, that's really the only big injury concern right now for the Bengals, and it's not really a concern. I would say this, Lyle Collins, who was their big offensive signing, for the offensive line in the offseason, he's yet to practice. He's got a kind of a back issue that he's saying he has, but I think this is just taking care of a veteran and letting him sit out some of training camp. The other big one was Alex Kappa, another big offensive line signing. He had a bit of a core problem in the offseason, but he's back. So I think the Bengals are looking good health-wise. They've had a couple of guys go down, but they're more role players, more depth. None of their stars have been affected by the injury bug outside of Joe Burrow having the appendicitis.
Now, how's my favorite draft pick doing, Dax Hill? I loved him coming out of college.
Yeah, he looks great. Look, they're going to rely on him perhaps Bates. This year to be a starter, because they don't know what's going to happen with Jesse Bates as of right now. Jesse Bates was an all-pro safety, a guy who's played in the Pro Bowl, who right now is holding out. He doesn't want to be a franchise-tagged player, and he says he's going to hold out. He's also threatened not to play this season. Look, I don't think Jesse Bates is going to leave $13 million on the table. But if he does, that's why the Bengals signed Dax Hill, to step in and be ready. He's been running with the one since day one. He looks athletic. He looks fast. There have been a couple of occasions where he's been lined up against a tight end where he looks like he gets muscled a little bit at the point of attack. So he's a bit undersized for a safety, but you know, he's that new modern safety that you want to run sideline to sideline. He's got that ability, and he's got that athleticism. So the Bengals are relying on this guy. They've said all good things about him so far, but we have seen a couple of times when he lines up against those bigger tight ends that sometimes safeties have to cover, he looks like he can be physically overmatched, maybe just a little bit here in his rookie season.
Now, what about, I know they made some improvements in the offensive line. How are they looking at practice? Because, what, they have 70-some sacks last year?
It has not looked much better at practice, to be honest with you. Now, part of that is Lyle Collins has not practiced. Alex Kappa is just coming back into practice. And then Ted Karras is their new center. They still have a gaping hole at one of their guards. That's kind of a revolving door at this point. And right now, the Bengals' defensive line, and this is, I think, probably the case for a lot of camps where the defense is dominating early. Look, Brandon Allen's playing quarterback and Joe Burrow's not. The offensive line doesn't have all their pieces in right now. So it doesn't look good for the Bengals' offensive line. Now, they were still able to make the Super Bowl last year, even though Joe Burrow got sacked a record number of times. But the idea here is this, is to make sure what happened to Andrew Luck doesn't happen to Joe Burrow, that he doesn't keep taking this pounding for the first 5 years of his career, because that stuff starts to add up. Burrow likes to think he's tough. He is a tough guy. He plays through a lot. He had a pinky injury last year. He had a knee injury in the Super Bowl, and now he's got the appendicitis that he's working back from. But if this team is going to keep Joe Burrow here for a second contract and keep him healthy for a long time, they had to address the offensive line. They did. The problem is we haven't yet seen it at training camp, so it looks a lot like it did last year at this point for a lot of different reasons, but I do think there's no way they can't be better than what they were last year. Even if they're just marginally better, it's a big, big boost for Joe Burrow in that offense.
Now, how's their tempo of practice? Because like the Ravens, they don't do any tackling. And I was listening where the Steelers, anytime they have pads on, they're tackling live and stuff. So what's the tempo like for the practices, especially in pads, with the Bengals?
Yeah, tempo's good, but they aren't hitting. There's been a couple of thuds that kind of raised their eyebrows, like, they probably shouldn't have done what they just did when they hit somebody down the middle. I saw one of those yesterday where a safety hit a running back and probably shouldn't have. But, yeah, there's no one going to the ground. There's no tackling. It's standard 2022 NFL training camp stuff. But the tempo looks fine, and the plan they have looks great. It just doesn't look all the way right without Joe Burrow on the field. And so until Joe Burrow gets back there, and look, there's so much more attention now at Bengals training camp practices, so much more energy, so much more excitement. There's so many more people there than there used to be. I can't imagine what that's going to look like when Joe's out there practicing in front of the fans and the excitement really starts to hit. But the tempo's fine. They just aren't hitting, and that's just modern NFL training camp.
Now, didn't I read, like, season tickets are sold out? So, I mean, it's going to be a different crowd for your home games, too, this year.
Yeah, that is accurate. Yeah, for the first time, they have sold out their allotment of season tickets. It is completely different in Cincinnati right now than it ever was before for the Bengals. Look, anytime Joe Burrow talks, there have been times where, you know, I work at a local TV station. We will cut into programming to take Joe Burrow's, like, weekly press conference live on the local Fox television station. That's how big of a star he's become here in Cincinnati. And, you know, we start talking about big stars in Bengals history. Chad Johnson was at practice yesterday. And someone asked me, is Chad the biggest star in Bengals history? I said, yeah, before Joe Burrow showed up. And in just a couple of years, he's changed that kind of narrative already in Cincinnati. So, yeah, he's a big deal. The excitement in Cincinnati is at an all-time high for this Bengals season, and it should be. They've got as good a chance as anybody to win the AFC North. And then once you get into the tournament, we saw last year, anything can happen when the Bengals went on the run they went on.
Joe Dadman, Fox 19 in Cincinnati. And Joe, before we let you go, you mentioned the AFC North separated by two games, first and last, where the Ravens technically finished. How are you handicapping it on August the 8th?
Boy, that's tough because I'm one of the few people here in Cincinnati who thinks that Baltimore is going to bring it this year for the Bengals. Last year, the Bengals scored 80-plus points in two games against Baltimore, and we understand the second game in Cincinnati when the Bengals played the Ravens didn't have anything left defensively. They were so beat up, so banged up, and the Bengals took advantage of it and almost kicked them while they were down a little bit, and then Zach Taylor said after the game that he's not going to apologize for running up the score on the Baltimore Ravens, considering how many times that had been done to the Bengals in the past. That's a long way of me saying that I believe the Bengals deserve to be and should be the favorite, but I do think Baltimore is very close. And if the Bengals do have an injury or two this year that they didn't have last year, they were remarkably healthy last year. And that's one of the big breaks you got to have to make a Super Bowl run. They were remarkably healthy. And of course, the Baltimore Ravens weren't. So if the Bengals don't have the same kind of injury luck and the Ravens get that kind of break this year, I do think the Ravens have the kind of roster that is built to challenge the Bengals, beat the Bengals, and be right there. And look, Vegas agrees with me. They have the Bengals and Ravens as the exact same odds to win the Super Bowl this year. So I think the Bengals deserve to be the favorite, but I think Baltimore is right there. And then Cleveland, and then I think Pittsburgh's in last with the quarterback situation they have.
Joe Dadman, Fox 19, Cincinnati. Joe, great to catch up with you. Obviously, we'll talk to you before the season starts. We'll do predictions and all the fun stuff that comes up with the beginning of a new NFL year.
Look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
You got it. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Vinny's heading out to camp, top of the hour. What's he going to be watching? We'll let you know when we come back. Hey, and Justin Tucker's in the news. By the way, it's good news based on the Linderbaum stuff from about an hour ago.
Vinny and Haney on your home for sports. 105.7 The Fan.
NFL Lunch coming up top of the hour. Howard Balzer, SI.com, is going to be joining us. Preview Orioles Blue Jays, 1:15. Jeff Ehrman, Maryland247.com. Kevin Willer got a big four-star basketball commit, which is good news. And we'll talk about the start of Maryland football practice as well. Vinny's heading out to one winning drive. We're at 1:35. Ravens back at the practice field. getting ready for the Titans coming up on Thursday. But news coming out, Ian Rappaport, Twitter, NFL Network, along with Garofalo, Mike Garofalo. Tyler Linderbaum, the injury suffered last week, more than just a foot sprain. Liz Frank is now brought into the equation and joining us to talk about what a Liz Frank injury actually is. Foot and ankle surgeon.
Orthopedic.
For the love of God. Right. Mercy Hospital. Joining us on the Regency Furniture Hotline. Let's welcome to the show someone Vinny's vaguely familiar with, Dr. Rebecca Serrato. Doctor, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on The Fan.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing great. And Liz Frank is not the name of your favorite soap opera actress. It's actually a pretty significant foot injury. Tyler Linderbaum, that was the news that came out today. Doctor, explain what a Liz Frank is, how it's different from a foot sprain, and you know what the concerns would be, I guess, if you're Linderbaum and the Ravens.
Yeah, so Liz Frank is just a description of an injury to the area called the midfoot of your the midfoot joints of your foot. And so Liz Frank is actually these have been injuries that have been well described and reported and probably more recognized in the last 20 years in sports, particularly in football, because it's just the mechanism of what, you know, tackle football, you're probably more prone than any other sport to developing it. And the reason why it's sort of like different than what they describe as a foot sprain, which is kind of a general term of any joint that has a sprain, Liz Frank, if they are unstable, can have long-term consequences, not just season ending, potentially career ending. So I think that's the severity of it.
Now, Rebecca, he said that he played through, he had it last year at Iowa, played through it. And now he's going to be out, Harb saying 1 to 2 weeks, you know, and they said the MRI, you know, was not bad. So what do you think, like on the prognosis? Yeah.
Well, that sounds good. So, you know, a Liz Frank sprain or a Liz Frank injury, it really depends upon the severity of it. So if you have a mild sprain, just like having a mild ankle sprain, that meant the ligament and the surrounding ligaments didn't completely tear. That's an unstable injury. Those are ones that need surgery, and this would be a different conversation. So if it's a mild sprain and the MRI was not overwhelmingly impressive, then he's very likely going to recover from that acute inflammation and that trauma very quickly. And you don't require those patients, those athletes, they don't need to be strictly off their foot and certainly no conversation about surgery much quicker. So patients with very mild sprains, being back in 2 weeks is not an unreasonable time frame.
So he's like in a boot now, probably. Is that what his rehab would be?
Yeah, he's probably in a boot. And they may say don't walk on it over the next 2 weeks. That's not the reason. If he weight bears on it, it doesn't mean that that ligament's going to tear. It just means that potentially he'll be quicker to get the swelling down and then the pain gone and, you know, quicker to get back into doing what he wants to do. Not so much whether or not, you know, he's avoiding surgery by not walking on it. They knew, you know, when they examined him last week and they got this imaging and stuff like that, they knew back then whether or not he was going to need that surgery.
Now, if it was a rupture, we'd be talking about a totally different scenario for the kid, right?
Correct. Yeah, if it was ruptured and those joints are unstable, then he would have likely had, if it wasn't surgery late last week, certainly this week. And then, you know, that would have been the season for him.
Now, Rebecca, let me, on a different subject, on David Ajabo with Achilles, and they've had a couple other guys with Achilles.
Bowser.
You know, how long, you know, what do you guys think, you know, for an elite pass rush guy, you know, to recover, you know, from the Achilles?
I mean, not most of my patients, but when you're talking about, you know, NFL, NBA, all of those where you have to do this quick explosive. I mean, you've seen some of those players get back 8-9 months, but that's super unusual. I mean, they're safe. They're already back, you know, in the training rooms and they're running and they're jogging, but they don't have that explosive strength and cutting ability that they do when they get beyond usually between 9 and 12 months for those athletes.
Dr. Rebecca Serrato talking about Liz Frank, what it means potentially for Tyler Linderbaum. Hopefully nothing to see here. Please disperse passage of time, I guess. We'll decide how the rehab goes. Doctor, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Monday here.
Oh, thank you very much, guys.
Vinny says hi, by the way. Dr. Serrato joining us, talking about the Liz Frank. More tests are coming, so hopefully this will not be a serious issue for the Ravens, because losing him would be a massive setback to an offensive line that's kind of retooling itself and still waiting for Ronnie Stanley's eventual, we think, return.
Well, the thing that would stink, Bob, like if it would have been surgery and he had to been out the year, then that first round draft pick is wasted. You know what I mean? Because you're losing your receiver who you had at that spot, you know, that you gave away the pick to get Lindebaum.
Justin Tucker, 4-year contract extension with the Baltimore Ravens. Good news for him and good news for the team. Arguably the best kicker in the history of the NFL. And he's still not done telling his story, by the way.
Well, to me, that's probably like a no-brainer. You know, what do you need, Justin? Anytime somebody gets more money than him, then he should be the highest paid. He's would you say first ballot Hall of Fame? Like, if he continues to do what he's doing?
He's going to make a strong case for that.
Yeah.
Let's see. 4 years, 24 mil, $17.5 million guaranteed, and an $11.5 million signing bonus. That's according to Adam Schefter, per his source.
So he got $11.5 million. That's nice. He's feeling pretty good today out of practice.
That's a lot of Rofo coffee and chicken for Justin Tucker. All right, you're headed out there in a matter of minutes. What are you going to be looking for today? I'm guessing you're going to see if Rashad Bateman's anywhere to be found.
Well, and I want to see if Dobbins is practicing too.
That's going to be key.
I guess the first thing I'll do is I'll go see Cordell. Cordell, who's here and who's not? You know, that's number one. And then take a look at... I always like to watch the O-line, you know, and I like to watch the wide receivers, you know, now because I like to follow if Juwan James is getting better. That's going to be key.
What do you think tempo will be like 3 days before the preseason opener? In pads, so right. I don't think they're going to be half-stepping it here.
No, they'll be starting to get a little excited for the game, but are they a little sluggish after having a day off? That usually a lot of times happens.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Howard Balzer, veteran NFL writer, SI.com, joins us for NFL Lunch. We'll preview the Orioles and Blue Jays coming up at 1:15. Game 1 of 3, 7:05 first pitch, Camden Yards. Me and Mike Bordick get you ready at 6 o'clock with Baltimore Baseball Tonight live from Pickles. Stop by, say hello, and we'll talk Terps with Jeff Ehrman coming up at 1:30. Kevin Willer gets a recruit, and it's a 4-star at that, and the start of football practice is here. September 3rd, season opens against Buffalo. What are the expectations? What should they be from Mike Locksley's team?
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.